coming up all over the next SMR. I mean, coming in the next. Up next to the SML podcast.
I'll pretend I'm somebody else.
Who are you going to be?
Who am I going to be?
Cena.
Who do I want to be?
You could be Grant.
I'm not talented enough to be Grant. Grant's too talented. I could be Italian medium.
Yeah, that could work.
I'll be that.
We'll just call you Pickles.
I'll be Pickles. Actually, I'll be Pickles, as in Pickles the drummer from Metalocalypse.
And you talk like him, though.
So I went to the mall the other day because I was going to buy that Cinnabon franchise. Too drunk. Couldn't do it.
So no questions. All right.
Well, I guess. I mean, just
we're good to go.
We are good to go. So what's up, everyone? This is Joe. This is the SML Podcast, episode number 193. I am joined, as always, by Mr. Chris Huber. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing well.
Good to hear. I'm glad you actually answered how you're doing this time instead of just saying hello and then nothing else.
You're welcome.
The new intro. It's a learning experience.
It is. I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah. We'll get there one day.
Yeah.
One day.
I mean, what? It's the second week?
It's only 3.5 years. We'll get there eventually.
It's an ever evolving process.
It really is. Speaking of evolving, I don't know how this correlates in any way, but I just gotta throw that out there. We are joined by two guests this week, calling in all the way from Japan to talk about their game. Is it Cube or Kyub or
Kyub?
Kyub?
It's Cube.
Kyub.
I kind of figured it was Cube, but I just like saying Kyub.
Just to accent the K.
And the yub.
You can tell what you want, it's okay. It's not very important.
Just pick a name, anything. Anything's fine. Yes.
So that game, would you guys like to introduce yourselves? Tell us who you are and what you do and why you were on this show.
Okay, so my name is Martin. I'm living in Japan, but I'm French. I'm in Japan since 5 years, and I'm working on Cube since nearly 2 years. And so Cube is a puzzle game. And on this project, I'm a kind of director of Cube. And this project is an indie puzzle game for Xbox One. And it will be released very soon, I hope.
Very soon.
So Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, me. I'm Chris, the other Chris. So how should we do that? I should say Christian probably. My real name is Christian, but nobody calls me that. So, but to make the difference, maybe I should say Christian.
We could probably figure it out.
It doesn't matter.
It's all in context.
Doesn't matter at all.
Hey, okay, hey, that dude with the holes in his ears. I could be that one.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, so I've been in Japan the same as Martin, like for 5 years now. And I've been working in the video games industry for over 10 years. I've been doing lots of stuff, localization, production, and journalism a little bit. And now I actually joined the Cube team on the PR side. So I'm contacting like you guys to,
nice.
Like, hey, can I join your podcast?
Nice.
Yeah, and talk about the game, right?
And do so, this. Which we'll talk about the game at least a little bit, and then we'll probably end up trailing off.
I mean, we probably should mention the game a bit, right?
Yes. I'm gonna tell you right now, I am not smart enough for this game. Because I get to certain points, like I finally got it to run. For whatever reason, I was having an issue to get it to run on my computer for a little bit, but once I got it running, I immediately switched over to a controller because yes. I had a little bit more luck with that. And even still with the controller, I was dying a lot.
Nice.
It's because the game is very difficult.
Yes.
So it's why you should die a lot. And I'm very happy that you tell me that you die a lot. But Yes, the game is for Xbox One first, so it's true that the PC version, there should be a lot some issue on it. We still did not do work on it because we first have to release it on Xbox One, so we are focusing on Xbox One.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Fortunately for you, yes.
So. Yeah, we should put it out there. The only thing that Chris and I have played so far has been like a press demo.
A
four-stage demo. So it's not like we're playing the full game.
No.
We're not that lucky yet.
Do you guys finish the game? The demo?
Oh, God, no. I'm not good enough.
I beat the first two stages. I have not had luck getting through the others, but it's been a couple of days since I fired it up again. I've had so much on my plate lately, but I love what I've played so far. For the people who don't know what Cube is, do you guys want to give us the sales pitch on the game and just like tell us what the game is about?
Yes, so the game basically, yes. Cube is a puzzle game, you know, so you move your own cube, who has some abilities on a very cute Japanese environment. And it's not only puzzle, you know, or you have to use your head, but you have also a lot of action platform phase where with your abilities, for example, you have color abilities, and with this color, you can climb on wall, and it's become very like a rhythmic game, for example, in this case. So it's all about like another cube puzzle based game, but with a puzzle phase and like kind of action phase. So a slow rhythm, rhythmic, I don't know how to use the good pronunciation in English, sorry. A slow pace and fast pace at the same time, yes.
There you go.
Yeah, the, involving the platforming like in with the puzzle aspect is what, like, doing both at the same time is where I went, like, I can focus on a puzzle at once, but if I'm having to, like, oh, make sure I move out of the way so I don't get hit by that, oh, never mind.
Like, I died again.
Yep.
I really like what I've played so far. We have seen a handful of cube-based puzzle games show up recently, including Cubot and Cubicolor, both of which we'd covered on the show. And I like that yours is actually setting itself apart because it's not just roll a cube around and solve a puzzle. You're actually, you know, working your way through full-on stages like a platformer, but there's plenty of puzzle elements in there as well.
Yes, you are totally true. You're saying the game better than me.
So
that's the thing. It's like you said, you have to do many things at the same time. So first, I mean, you will really slow it, just learn the basics and stuff, right? And I mean, and then you got to even do the rhythm part, like Martin said, when you push A, B, and Y in the rhythm to actually climb the walls.
Yeah.
And then figure out the elements and stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of things at the same time. So dialogue, just in Dark Souls, right? I mean,
so this is the Dark Souls of Cube puzzle games.
It's a dark cube.
We were talking about Dark Cube. We should have called it Dark Cube.
Cube Souls.
Cube Souls sounds good.
I think nowadays, like, I don't think that games in which you die a lot are necessarily a bad thing. I think it's perfectly fine nowadays. I think, like, everybody's fine with it, honestly.
I mean, as long as you die and you know why you die.
It's a learning experience.
If it's just stupidly dying over and over and just like, and you don't progress, that doesn't make any sense, right? But I mean, the part is like, figure out everything on the map, know where it is exactly, it doesn't change, right? It's not randomly generated. So it's like, every time it's the same map. So you should, after a time, figure it out and you know, memorize the whole thing.
Right. And I like puzzle games that will do that because it will reward you for essentially just like, no, if you just keep doing it, eventually it's just muscle memory. Like, will you get to a certain point? So it's not necessarily like a random kind of thing where it's just like you feel like luck is against you.
Yeah, right.
It really is skill-based more so.
Yeah, I know. And I like the fact that there's time challenges on the stages as well, because I've replayed that first stage a handful of times. When, you know, you go through it the first time, you kind of get the hang of what's going on, and then you replay it to try and do it faster, and then do it again to go faster. I think I am still like 0.8 of a second short of the goal time.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's got to be frustrating.
Oh God, I was so pissed when I got to the end, and it's like you just missed it, and soul crushing.
Yes.
But it's stuff like that that will make you want to keep, even though like things don't necessarily change every single time. You still want to keep redoing it because you want to get better.
Yeah.
I just would like to add about Gold Time that we had a big internal discussion about it, and I really wanted very hard Gold Time. So the Gold Time are very hard to obtain. And
have you thought about doing like a Goal Time and a Master Time?
Not yet, but maybe in the future.
Because then you could split them up and like make two sets of achievements for people.
Yes, but we will announce soon. It's not released yet, but we have other ideas for the future as well. So you will get that kind of thing in the future, I think.
Eventually,
yes.
Yeah.
And for example, another example is that you talk about the time, but you have as well another medal about the death. And if you die in the stage only once, you can't get the gold medals.
Yeah.
About the death timer, the death counter, you know.
Yeah.
So it's another part of the game. Like, if you want to, you can. Like, try to get as fast as possible, even die a little, and get your gold medal for the time. But if you want to get your gold death metal medal, you know, you will have to play very carefully to don't die, because if you die only once, it's over. And it's the same for stage 1 to stage 80.
So there's 80 stages in the game.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Maybe if you scratch a bit, you will find more, but I don't know. Maybe.
Wow.
I'm not the programmer, so I don't know what programmer.
Allegedly.
I don't want to spoil anything.
That's a lot of stages. I didn't expect there to be that many stages, given how big the stages are in the game.
Yeah, they're big. And there's a lot, like, even just the design of the levels, like, all the things that are inside of it. Like, it's not, they're not boring landscapes. Like, there's a lot going on. Even though there's a lot that you have to do gameplay-wise, there's a lot to pay attention to as well.
Yeah.
We try to... Like other puzzle game, most of them, if you can look their design, it's just really like white cube, you know, or metallic cube, or it's a really simple design. And at the opposite, we wanted something more Japanese style, or so we decide to in plus to make like really real game environment. And not just only cube, but something feel more than only a lot of the majority of the puzzle game, and to offer this like visual experience to add it to the gameplay experience.
Yeah, Martin,
see, like I got a view that it kind of reminded me almost like a I don't know why it made me think of this, but like a Super Monkey Ball. I don't know why. But like
it's fine.
Like it's just it has a decent amount of like pop to it. Like even just the visuals of it and there's a lot of color and it's very animated. Like I don't know, I dig it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous game.
Oh yeah.
But Martin, right? I mean, this game is quite older than you were actually talking until now.
Yes, because I didn't explain everything because it's quite a long story. And so I didn't tell it about it in the introduction, but this game first is a school concept. Me and my student team made 5 years ago when I was still in France. So I was not it's not me who wrote the concept, who find the concept of this game. But when I first saw it in the class, you know, I saw like, oh, this concept has potential. This game seems so good So I was very happy to be able to join this team. And because the guy who think about this concept just wanted to program, I asked him if it would be possible in the team to get project manager. And he said, okay, go ahead. I just want to program, to do my programming, you know.
And don't worry about the manager. Other stuff.
Yes, yeah. So do the management side. So go ahead, it's okay. And so we developed it first at school during 8 months. And so we won it's not very important, but we won the school prize. And then we won a second prize, who bring us to the GDC Europe in the Cologne in 2011. Yes, so 5 years ago. And after it, so I went to Japan. I studied Japanese. I found a job in Japan. And around 2 years ago, Microsoft Japan called all the developers in Japan and asked us if do you want to do game on Xbox One? We are looking for indie people to make game. We are looking people to make game. So we have a program. Maybe some other people explain to you this program on our show called ID at Xbox.
Yep. Yeah, we've had a lot of people on our show who've worked with ID at Xbox.
The same thing happened in Japan. And so only a few games make it in Japan because, you know, Microsoft Xbox in particular in Japan. It's not a very good history between themselves, you know. It's not.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of success. Of be honest,
not a popular system out that way.
Yeah, yes. I would imagine. Yeah.
Yes. Each week, it's around 100 device selling only.
Wow.
Only 100. Yes, and even less recently. So
that's so when you, low.
So for example. Maybe 2 months ago, we bought an Xbox One in our studio to make some tests. And this week, it was only 62 devices. So
wow.
In Japan. So
yeah.
we were able to see, oh, we are here, you know.
I'm glad you guys are bringing it to Xbox, because I know PlayStation is the more popular console out there right now. But we're Xbox guys. We love our Xboxes.
Yep.
Yes, and because, to be honest, Xbox, like, if without this program, I would not be able to show this concept again to my boss and to start it. So, if at the time it would have been Sony who came to us, it would be a PS4 game, to be honest. I didn't decide to make an Xbox One game because I love Xbox One. It's because I had the opportunity with the help of Microsoft Japan and the support of them. But I'm very happy finally to develop it on Xbox One, because right now the PlayStation Network, it's becoming kind of the same thing like Steam, where every day or every week you have a shit of lot of new game who are getting out, and it's very, very hard to get noticed on this platform.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot online that PlayStation owners are seeming to become more and more negative towards indie games in general.
Yes, because you have a lot of them, I think.
Yeah, this is a whole story about, it's not a story, but people are complaining about the PlayStation Network, the PlayStation Plus, and then, you know, the free games are all indies, and people are complaining. I wouldn't complain, but some people are, actually, and I don't know why. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it just seems like Xbox has been more, like the gamers on Xbox seem to be more receptive towards indies now, because they don't get as many titles. So we enjoy what we get instead of bitching about what we're not getting.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Originally, it started on Xbox 360, right? And the whole indie game console movement started on Xbox first. I mean, then, of course, PlayStation 3 had a lot of games too, but that came later in the process. I mean, years later.
That's crazy. And things, The tide changes so frequently, but...
And people are forgetting a lot. what it really was in the past.
Yeah.
Like, oh, PlayStation was the indie console for years. No. Do you remember only 3 years ago? It was not this. But it's a lot of it's a communication problem. But the other big part to be on Xbox One, I think it's you have, like as you said, less title who are released each month. Even if right now the amount of game is increasing a lot, but it's still okay. So you can get noticed a lot more, not a lot more, but a bit more only easily. Yes, it can be easier to be noticed right now on Xbox One compared to PlayStation 4 or Steam, who is really a jungle. It's a jungle right now.
Steam is, and I bring that up a lot with a lot of the people that come up on the show, just because I feel like there's such an oversaturation on the PC market. Just because I honestly think that anybody that makes a game just assumes that I think the largest market is technically PC.
Yeah.
So they just push for it regardless of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking with Martin actually last time about Steam and like Greenlight and all that. And Martin was telling me a story about, I forgot the name of the project, but some guy wanted to demonstrate that you can actually hack through Greenlight by like.
Oh,
and
God.
It's like, okay, what the fuck? And in that case, everybody can
this guy, like maybe 2 months ago, he succeeds to put his game on Steam without a guy in Valve just checking his game only once.
Yeah.
He hacked the system with a Java request. He did it in a way very smart, not very hard, you know. And he got his game on Steam. It was really like a shitty game. Shitty guest ever, you know. He just put it on Steam, and a lot of people complain, and he say, "Hey, look, I'm the guy who did it," and he make a very informative post on Gamma Sutra, but no, it's correct, so you can't do it anymore. But like it can show you, I think right now, like Valve, I think don't care a lot anymore about the quality of the game on there on Steam,
and no, just I don't want think to. So.
The same thing as Apple, just take the percentage, you know, of sale.
Yeah, just let the people do what they want, take your cut, and ignore the complaints, I guess.
But I guess they've gotten so big that they don't have time, cannot get enough people to actually, you know, have somebody behind every single game to check that it's going well and not lost.
They have to money to employ a lot of people to do it. Just, I think they don't care about the quality of the content they are accepting.
Well, I mean, and again, it's just they're going quantity over quality. They're just, you know, the more things that are out there, you're going to end up pulling in from those things. Even if they sell well or not, they're going to sell regardless, so you'll pull something in.
Yeah.
And it's very shady because they are trusting, like, okay, you want... Go and green light, and if you have enough people who like your game, because it's, you know, it's the people who like your game are potentially buyer, just this is okay, you know, to get through the process of to get your game on Steam. But like some people got only like 100 like on green light and they get validated. And some other people get a lot more and didn't get through the process. So, you know,
I think it's weird that they don't just come out and say, "Hey, look at this is how we actually figure out what we greenlight." Because they've never actually come out and said like it's a factor of this and this, or you know what I mean? Like,
yes, but. No choice.
Which, I mean, obviously, like, if having that type of transparency, like, it becomes a problem with how many people would attempt to get on there. But I just think it's weird that we have no idea, we have no control to base it off of.
Yeah, it's a black box, just like he said, Martin, before him, just like Apple. Apple is a black box. I mean, you never know how you get featured. You don't ever know. I mean, you have if you're indie, if you're not an indie, if you're a big company, you're not a big company, whatever type of game, you never know what's going to happen. It's just like the team and the store manager, they figured they choose. I mean, it's their choice, basically. So it's completely random. It's whatever they like this month.
So yeah. It's messed up.
Well, maybe it's not only what they like, but if you know the correct person, you know.
Maybe they like Martin.
Yeah. Well, any kind of entertainment is really kind of who you know, at least in some regards. So I wouldn't be too surprised if it was the same in video games, just as it would be in anything else. So, but in the same regard, you can put out a good game and you'll gain enough. Yeah, you'll gain enough tread just on actual merit, because there is a lot of garbage out there. So when you put something out that's worth looking at, you know, it'll get attention.
Like a good example is Undertale.
Yes.
Who make big surprise, big success.
It just makes you wonder how many other games are out there like Undertale that are just fantastic games, but no one's heard of them because there's too much other just shit floating around in Steam.
Yep.
Yes.
Steamy shit.
God damn it, Chris.
I'm extremist on it. I should, for me, like three game, like maybe half of the game who are released right now on Steam should not be released, in my opinion, but
it's some probably could, higher than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some people could say the same thing about Cube. So
I don't feel like they could. I think realistically, if you were to compare it to the majority of stuff that's out there, I think no matter what your opinion on the type of game or if the game is for you or not, I think you can easily look at it and tell that there's quality.
Yeah, yours isn't like, just another 8-bit platformer.
Yeah, but you can tell that there's been time put into it.
I have ever heard like some event. I had some event, and I have heard some like comment like, "Oh, it's again a puzzle-based cube game." So. It's a little game, only €10, shit stuff like this, and you will forget it very, very fast, you know. And people who had not even played the game, you know, can comment like this. But I know that there is always people who will criticize you. So I'm okay with it, but criticize without even try it, you know, not so good, but it's okay. I'm ready for
this. This is the internet age. It's like legally mandated that you have to bitch about things before you know anything.
It's true.
Pretty much. But trolling has become like just a normality nowadays.
I troll a lot, so it's okay.
I try.
I'm the troller of my company.
Nice.
Like I know, you know, it's okay, but it will be too personal after, but I troll a lot. Just keep it.
Well, give us some examples of you trolling.
Ah, yes. Tarantino do only shitty movie, and the best trilogy in the world, it's a Matrix trilogy.
Okay.
Yes, and the best movie of all the time, it's Matrix 3.
Yeah, but I mean, you cannot get that seriously because he likes Super Dragon Ball, so you know.
Yes, Dragon Ball Super is the best manga anime right now, and the new opening song of Dragon Ball Super called Shosetsu Dynamic is better than the old opening Dragon Ball song, who is Chara Chara.
Yeah, you can slap into the face. He doesn't mind.
Do you know Dragon Ball Super?
I'm not a huge anime person. Berserk was pretty much the one that I got into the most.
Ah, yes, nice.
Yeah, our anime guy left 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, pretty much. he was our resident. Well. Like he knew anything and everything. I've seen a few episodes of Kill la Kill, and my brain melted.
I watched Golden Boy. That's about it. And Spirited Away.
Because Dragon Ball is in France was really popular when I was a kid. Yeah. So, you know, it was pretty much real time compared to Japan, right? It came to America pretty late. Like, when I was in college, I think it was 2001 or something. It finally got to America.
Wow, so late.
Yeah, it was pretty late in America. So, I don't know. I mean, now it's a huge boom because, you know, a lot of kids are watching it. But back in the day, it was pretty different. So, I mean, Japan and France are pretty close in that regards.
I know my one friend in high school used to watch Dragon Ball, and that was, like, in the late 90s.
But that was the first Dragon Ball, right? Not Dragon Ball Z.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I barely remember last week. Trying to remember the 90s just is not going to happen.
Well, you might want to check back, but yeah. But
well, dude, you gotta remember the late 90s is almost 20 years ago.
Oh my God, we're so old.
Like,
but in France, it was the early 90s where Dragon Ball got released in France. So every kid were watching it. Every kid.
Damn.
So you got a lot of French fans of Dragon Ball.
So the thing, what happened is the new series, the huge comeback, the reboot of the series called Dragon Ball Super, or Super Dragon Ball, whatever, the animation quality is really, really bad. And so a lot of people are complaining on the web and then everywhere. So it's trolling a lot. And it really is shitty. The Blu-rays should be in better quality. They have to produce them really fast for TV.
I think I'm a big fan, but it's true that quality animation is very as bad as a like a game. But
I'm having a hard time hearing you guys. I think just you two are breaking up, but I've been hearing Chris okay. Are you guys downloading a lot of porn over there or something?
No, same at all. I think it's the Japan connection who suck. I'm hearing very bad, Chris. To me, I thought it was okay, but not okay as well.
Yeah, it seems like just the two of you guys are starting to break up quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
Chris, are you hearing the same? Or Huber,
yeah,
are you playing?
No, I'm not. No, I'm just, I've got the Skype call and that's it.
Well, no, I was saying, are you hearing the same issues that I am?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I am.
I can hear Martin pretty bad, actually. You guys are fine.
Same for me. For you.
Goddamn Japanese internet.
Oh, it's the Japanese internet.
Can't you guys go to Korea where they have better internet?
I think it's just the link between Japan and the state. It, you know, under the...
A giant squid is like wrapped around the internet cord now.
Yes, I was thinking a giant whale. A giant whale, but maybe it's a giant squid, yes. Better accurate, yes.
Eh, whatever works. Oh, man. So Dragon Ball, where were we?
Yeah, well, Dragon Ball. Yes, don't watch it. Dragon Ball Super, it really sucks.
Watch it. It's very fun. Yes, it was a big coma. Sorry. So yes, I like to try.
Nice. Yeah, it's. I don't know what's going on with the call. It's starting to get really bad out of nowhere.
It's weird.
Do you want to restart?
Yeah. Well, let us hang up with you guys quick, and I'll add you back in. That might help things. So
let's give it a shot. Yay, Skype.
So, hung up on them.
Skype's my favorite.
Yeah.
And now, how is it?
You sound
That's
good
a
again.
Better. Yeah.
Yay! Good. But you know, Chris is on the toaster, so I don't know if he...
Trying to call him back in as well.
Nope.
He sounds like poo.
Sounds better.
Sound good,
there we go.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, it must have just been an internet hiccup.
Probably, like, after a while, it's, you know.
It's like, are you guys still connected to Japan, really?
Like, okay. how much internet do you guys need to take up right now?
Yeah.
For your shitty show, really? Oh man. So let's talk a little bit more about your game. We might as well talk about that a little bit. You said it was originally conceived back in 2011, but how long has the actual Xbox development been going on for? Like 2 years, you said?
Yes, around we start the development on Xbox in July 2014. But we start to develop on Unity, so we get first, maybe we get to first Xbox a bit later, because we start to develop, make a prototype, then send it, show it to Microsoft, and then after we got the dev kit. But I don't remember when the dev kit arrived in the company anymore. nearly 2 years of development.
I think it was the same time as Dragon Ball came out in France, right?
And so it's for me, it's my first time to working on a project so long time, and so it's a very, very good experience. I'm very happy and proud of the team I have right now, because it's a very good core team in my opinion.
How big of a team are you guys working with?
Maybe the core team is around, but the number of people changed during the production, but it was around 6 to 7 people.
All right, that's not bad.
Yes. So we get we get pass through a lot of things, you know, a lot of things happen, like every time it's the same thing in game development, it's not smooth as fuck as you want to do. But it's okay, it's good experiences. I'm working with people I like, and most of the team is French, you know. Even if we are in Japan, working in a Japanese company.
Seriously, so yes. how did so many French people get to Japan and meet up?
It's I can explain for the people I know, like the school I graduate in France is called Isard Digital, and this school has a partner with a Japanese school since years. So a lot of people went to Japan after graduating from Isard Digital, and a lot of those people land in the same company as me, because my company was hiring, and I told to my boss, hey, I have a French guy who can do the job you are looking for, you know. And so I start to recruit all the people, my friend from the same school, to the company. Nice. And we indeed to work on the same project.
Yeah, Martin didn't tell you, but he works at, he's the director of human resources, actually.
See, now, and again, it goes back to kind of having to know somebody, because, you know, you got your buddies in, so that works.
Yeah, but it's buddy with competencies.
And, oh, yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not like, hey, like it's some dumb shit that just goes, hey, man, no, I got you. Like, I'll set you up with this job, and you could just be really terrible at it, and it won't matter. Like,
help computer.
But it's buddy from my school. So, but I think school right now, make friend. It's cool and very important. In if you want to work in specific field, because when most of the time, I think you know, connection is very important to find work.
Yeah,
and if you don't know anyone, it's very hard to enter into industry. For example, when I first was looking for a job in Japan, I've searched on internet like a shitty company, to be honest, who was doing like only erotic games. But it was okay, I don't care, let's apply, I want a job in Japan, let's apply. And finally I found a job in the company I'm still in right now, who call Ninja Egg, and so the company is working quite well, it's becoming quite big, not because of Cube, but I hope it will become bigger with Cube, but with the mobile part.
Yeah.
And so right now, when I first came in the company, we were 15, and right now we are 250 people.
Wow.
Damn.
And it was only one office in Tokyo, and now there is maybe like 6 or 7 offices all around Japan.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yes, it's increasing very quick because of the mobile part.
Thanks to porn games, right?
Yeah.
Yes, some porn games I wear, because Japan is like porn, you know?
Cube 2 is going to be the erotic adventure.
Yeah.
Yes, I hope so. You know, you can get a lot of square form, you know? It will change about round form, you know?
So Ninja Egg is made up of 250 people. Wow.
Yes. And
they're all French.
No. Maybe we have quite a lot of French, but maybe right now between 8 and 10 French.
Yeah, and come on.
At one point, more than 10 French.
Damn.
But some French stop work, but new French will come soon. So, yes, around 10 French.
Importing new French people daily.
Right.
Yes. It's how it works. Because to be honest, it would be a bit harsh, but if you let too many Japanese people on a project, you have a lot of change that this project will become shit. So yeah. You have to put other people on it as well.
Yes. You got to balance it out. It's...
Yes, 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 yes.
So you said you guys are aiming for a summer release. Do you guys is it like early summer, later summer?
As the certification is...
Yeah, that's the thing. We're in certification right now with Microsoft, so we're waiting for the yes.
Yes.
So it could be anywhere from like next week to August.
Week, but I guess the earliest would be end of June, right?
And maybe right now it's early July.
Early July. Yes.
The soonest we can do. We can hope. Yes.
Well, I'm eager to see it come out. The little bit I've played so far has been a blast.
Thank you.
It's a very unique game. I like it.
Do you guys get stuck somewhere? Like, is there any parts where you were like, you couldn't figure out what to do, or for a moment you had to think a lot, or
The only thing that I've had a big stumbling block over was in the second demo stage. I could not figure out how to get the second little hidden icon that was halfway down the ending section.
Ah, you are speaking about collectible, right? The star.
Yeah.
When you talk icon, yeah. Okay. Okay, what is the second stage of the demo? I don't remember. What was the name? Do you remember? Because I'm working on so many stages of the star. It's a color stage. Ah, it was a color, a lot of color in the stage.
I think so. I don't know how loud it's going to be if I open the game, but I will try it.
Let's find out.
On the 11th one, because for people who don't know, in the demo, we put an exclusive demo level first. So it's a level who won't be in the game, but it's kind of a big tutorial level where all the tutorial in the game are mashed up in one stage, one level.
Oh, interesting.
And yes, so we decide to do it because before we had, like, for each feature in the game, each ability of your cube, you have one specific tutorial and you have a difficulty, you know, progression about when this feature is coming, and starting this point, you have, you know, stage after it who is only about this feature, and then you start to mix everything to add more difficulties and more difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decide, because when you put your game on an event, or when you want to send demo to people like you, for example, or to a journalist, we wanted people to have a good overview of Cube in only one level. So we decide to create this one.
Oh, yeah, and just put all of the tutorials. Yes. That makes sense.
Yes, but it won't be in the game. But the three other levels who are included in this demo is in this trial is focus on one specific feature. So there is one specific one stage specific on color features, one stage specific on magnetic cube features, and the last one on the element features. So it's these three features are the main features of the game.
Yes. The stage I'm talking about is Colorful Wall.
Ah, yes. And you didn't know how to get the last collectible, right?
Yeah. And yeah, part of me wishes I could, like, adjust the camera up and down so I could see, but...
It's before, in the very early process of Cube, like, I'm talking about 5 years ago, we were able to move the camera a bit up and down as well, but to a more overall, how can I say this? About the whole feeling, you know, it was very weird. If it was not a good orthographic view, a perspective view, as we are doing right now, if we were able to change the Y axis, you will get a very strange feeling when you were moving your cube, because it would not be the same view at the same time. And for us, it was a lot easier to make the stage, because right now you have not only the stage, but you have environment in it, in the background. And if we have to think about how it looks when you are playing, and if you have too many different point of view, we will need a lot more time to make fine environment, background environment.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yes, so it's why you don't have a free camera, for example.
It's just this. I just can't tell how the hell to get down to that block.
If you turn your camera, you can think that you can follow. You have behind the wall, you have another path of color.
Yeah. So I'm looking at it now. I don't know if you guys want to fire up the Twitch stream. You could see where I am stuck.
Do you have a link to your Twitch?
I tweeted it out. It's twitch.tv/thesmlpodcast.
It's going to definitely kill his internet connection.
Oh, yeah.
No, I will.
And we just had someone join the chat. What's up, Uzumaki? 987. Yeah, just I've been struggling with trying to figure this one out, and I always hit the wrong way when I'm trying to adjust the camera.
Ah, yes. I'm so always bad with Twitter. Time to find the Twitch. Okay. Oh, your Twitch is telling me that it's for an adult. It's
oh yeah, because we curse
yes,
on the
so
show.
So you just have yes, you can keep it. So go to the B, and now you can move your. If you remember, when you are on the B.
On the very last B.
When you yes on the very last B, you can make with your D-pad a movement to like kind of jump, you know.
I'll have to get back down there.
Left. Yes, like if you do, yes, you wait too long. Sorry. It depends of the angle of view of your camera, but when you are on a color square, if you press a direction with the D-pad, you will move one square.
There we go.
Next, yes. So right now it's yes. You can. Okay, maybe yes. You get it.
There you go.
And I fell anyway. Well, at least I know how to get that one now. All right.
Now you get it. Now you get it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I watched you fall. It was great.
Every time I try to adjust the camera in the game, I always screw it up. Always. There is no fail. If I want to move to the left, it goes to the right, and if I want to go to the right, I move it to the left.
Yes, so. Yes. We will try to implement this these little things in the next version of the game. We will have a little patch, I think, soon after the release.
To invert horizontal camera?
For example, yes. Now we are... We can't add that kind of things in the game because we already lost too many time and we just have to get the actual version without like the issue Microsoft wants us to correct, and we try to not add any content in it, to don't try to make to create other bug or that kind of thing. But we will implement it for sure in the near future.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's good to hear that you're going to support it and actually still do updates and
yes,
all that kind of stuff afterwards.
Yes, we will. And we have, after Xbox One release, we will release it as well on Windows Store.
Oh, on Windows 10 as well?
Yes, Windows Store.
Oh,
not
cool.
Not Steam, Windows Store, yes. So
I think that's probably a better market.
Not sure, because this game, you know, it's really a game for gamer, and on Windows Store, you don't have a lot of gamer in it. Even if you can kind of trick them and, you know, all the mother family, for example, and say, oh, look, a colorful puzzle game for my child. Even if child can play this game, in my opinion, you know, it's difficult, so maybe a lot of child, maybe children. But I think, yes, the rules are so simple that everyone can play. It just depends of
what skill level.
Yes, and what you really like, your own, do your own, say this in English. Don't give up.
Yeah. Yes.
Gambaru.
Voilà, gambaru, as you can see.
That's what you say in Japan, gambaru. Never give up.
Never give up, never surrender.
Never surrender.
To protect the world from devastation.
Yes, yeah, to unite all people within our nation.
we'll see how
for example, right now, I'm looking for you for the Magnetic Cube movement. And Magnetic Cube is, for me, is the most... interesting feature, because it's crazy when you start to play to study how people are thinking about how to move with this magnetic cube, you know.
I can only imagine.
And it's so funny and so... even myself, you know, after months and months of playing, you say, oh, but since many months, I could do that way of moving to get a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And you get used a lot, and it's very crazy when you first play Cube with this feature, the second time, the third time, you begin to understand how it's working, how the best way to do that kind of things, the little trick, you know, you can learn to move quicker, and it feels great, you know, when you discover a new way to do things with this little cube, and a new way to how to move it to do the puzzle a lot quicker and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're really eager to see what the speedrunning community is going to do with the game.
Oh God, I can't wait to see that.
What I'm very waiting for is, like, what will be the best time, you know, on some stage,
and how to do it?
Because I made the old goal time, but I was taking my time and like adding I was adding some second every time to don't make like not kind of a speedrun goal time, but more goal time than. Like, as you told before, like a gold pro time, for example.
Yeah.
Like a developer time. I did more like a gold time, but there is some stage, like... I really want to see what people can do with this game. I really want to do. Like, I want to be, like, amazed, but the time of some people and say, how they did, how?
It'll be one of those things where, yes. Instead of a speed run being like, oh, it's going to be this level, it's going to be the whole game from like start to finish.
Yeah.
And for a developer, like I create this level, how is it possible to do that time? You know, I want to have that feeling. It's why I really want to release as soon as possible and see what people can do with it.
Oh, it's gonna happen. Yeah. And we actually, one of the guys on our one of the guys who listen to our show frequently and enters a bunch of our contests. His name is Jake. He entered and won a handful of games from us. One was Gear Gauntlet, which just came out on the Xbox One a while ago, and he got 1,000 achievement points on that in like a few days. Gunworld 2, he did the same thing. I think this is going to be like the next challenge that he's just going to embrace and destroy, and you're going to be confused. And Uzumaki in the chat, he actually just commented that this is the kind of game that people could mod the crap out of. Are you guys considering doing any kind of user-generated stuff?
Yeah, it's a big wish, but we can't say anything right now because, we won't, but will it happen? We still don't know, but yes, we won't. It's the only thing we can say right now. It's that a strong wish to do it, but will we be able to do it? I still can't say yes.
Martin, did you guys think, actually, it's kind of related to that and the speedruns and the community and stuff, did you guys think about doing like ghosts, like developer ghosts or something?
Right now, ghost things can be, yes, we can think about it. We had a lot of ideas, so we first want to. we have to. After, to be honest, as well, it will depend of the selling. If it's selling very, very bad, it will be difficult to add a lot of content to it. We still have some things we want to add to the game, depend of the selling stuff.
And that makes sense. You don't want to invest too much into it if it's not getting enough of a return.
But we think it's the kind of game who can. It can be a hit since the beginning, but what we are saying, the thing, it maybe it will become not a very big hit because it's kind of a niche game, but it can become a good sell in the long shot.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So after 1 year, 1 year and a half, and add a lot of things during that life of time to make the community bigger, to make it grow. And not big hits since the start. But we can have a good surprise, you know? It depends on a lot of things.
So if you guys add a level editor, how long do you think it would take for someone to make a dick-shaped level?
If right now, with our internal...
there's already a dick level.
Yes. Yeah, so sure, we have an editor level since 1 year and a half. To make our own level, we are using an editor to do it, but it's not user friendly, and there is a lot of constraint. We are developers, so we know the constraint, but we can't release it right now to the public because it will be very like
people won't know how to respond correctly.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll break it in ways that you didn't even imagine.
Yeah.
So right now we have to do, if we want to release the editor for public, we have to do it again from scratch. And to think about not how developer can make level, but how can user can make a level very in an easy way. Mm-hmm. And so it will get... I think maybe in 6 months we can do something, but maybe even in 6 months we won't be able to do it. So it's why I can only say we wish we want to do it, but
it's up in the air for now.
Yes, it's up in the air, but yes, I think it will be scheduled as well to start, but will we be able to do it? I still don't know. So it's why I can't say we will do it. You will have one. No, it's maybe we will think and try to make one, but will we? There is a possibility that we fail to do it.
So there's always that possibility of dick-shaped level showing up event.
Yes, I hope to have the same kind of success like Mario Maker, you know. And to, yes, to see community, but yes, user generating content at this scale is very hard to develop.
Oh, I can only imagine. You're essentially having to try and put your own program within a program,
It's not only this, but it's all the control around it, like how the publish is working. How do you publish your own level, for example? There is a lot of control. I'm not even aware at all about all these steps, so I can't even represent for myself the amount of work is it, to be honest. So. For example, if people want to make a deep shit level and create like a Hitler SS stage, you know, how do you control it? What can you do to?
Do you need to have someone like monitor them at all times? Yes. Or like, that'd be annoying.
Do you guys remember Little Big Planet, the first, when it came out and people are starting to make games and like they were actually copies of old.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They had huge problems with that at first, and I don't know, so.
Yeah, people are always going to make, I guess, homages to those old games that they grew up with.
Which is awesome, right? I mean, it's great. But how far can you go with it without, because I know that there are some levels that got deleted.
Yeah.
Because of that, so.
Yeah, you never know, so. So, what kind of games are you guys playing right now?
Like I said before, Dark Souls 3.
Every stinking developer that we talk to is always like, you know what? When I wind down, I'm going to play Dark Souls. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand.
I'm actually at the Nameless King. Once I beat him, I'm at the end boss, and I'm fine. I'm done. So I should finish this week, I guess.
Me, I'm playing League of Legends.
Oh, no!
Huge fan of League of Legends since 5 years, since season one. And since 3 months, we have our own Japanese server, so I can play with a nice ping. So I'm enjoying the game a lot more. But I start recently Witcher 3 as 2 because I have a new computer, so I can play to Witcher 3. So yes, Witcher 3 and League of Legends.
Are you guys all aboard the Overwatch train or no?
Oh, God.
No. Not at all. No. I don't play MOBAs at all. So I'm just fighting games. That's all I play online.
I don't play FPS anymore since I'm in Japan because I like to play that kind of game with my friend, and my friend are all in Europe. So if I want to play with them, I have 300 ping and latency, so I get kicked by the server. And every Blizzard game is very bad about server. Ping. Because absolutely. I tried to play Hero of the Storm on the Europe server, and I got like the game was not smooth. It was like eep, beep, beep, you know, it was like I don't know how to explain it. Maybe you can understand, like your character was moving and freezing, moving, freezing.
Yeah, and the amount of latency and lag is probably horrendous.
And it's the same for StarCraft 2, for example, and Diablo 3.
Oh, you can't have that in StarCraft either.
Yes. But to compare to this, to League of Legends, I was playing on a European server, and even if I had a bad ping, the game was a lot smoother. So the gameplay experience was still fun. So for Overwatch, I don't think I will get into it.
I
want to play with my friend, and my friend are in France. So.
Yeah, that's literally like pretty much all I've been touching since it came out.
Shocking.
But it's interesting about MOBA games in Japan. Like, until now, Japanese people didn't play at all MOBAs because it's not their. I mean, it all happened in Korea, right? So, but Riot Games started like to push hard, and like they're getting there, I guess. I mean, the community is growing in Japan. They got their own servers now, and they got people in there. And I mean, of course, the level is not as high as in Korea or in Europe, but still, they're getting there.
I honestly think that, like, I think the reason why I like Overwatch so much, though, is because it's more of just a shooter. Like, it feels more like a Team Fortress than it does like a League of Legends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not that, like, some certain team comps, like, you can pay attention to that kind of stuff, but yeah, sometimes you really don't have to. Like, it all depends on who you're playing against. Because, key example, I played a couple matches before we, like, got on the call for the podcast, and I had a full group of other people that I knew, and we all played as the same character.
Oh, God.
And we did fine.
Uzumaki is in the chat saying that Overwatch is a virus that needs to be contained.
It's amazing.
There are advertising is really hardcore. I mean, everywhere you go on the internet, it's just
everywhere. You cannot escape this game. Like, no. It's nuts.
That's crazy. But anyway, I know we are creeping on, I think, a little bit over an hour that we've been chatting with you guys. Is there anything that you guys wanted to chat about before we, the two of us, move on to the rest of our episode?
Not specially, but...
I think we it's fine. We
covered everything.
All the point. Yes.
Yeah, just be patient. Be patient, guys, and wait until the game comes out. It shouldn't be that long anymore, but...
I'm excited. Whenever the game is ready, hit us up. We would love to cover the game on our show.
Sure.
Maybe absolutely, do a giveaway or something. Maybe get you guys back on if we're able to get, you know, a day and a half set aside again.
Yeah. Yes, just would like to add, like, as I talked before, 80 stage... And in my opinion, very, very good player, very, very talented player, I think could, if you don't check for the Solus on internet, can finish the game around 12 hours. But the majority of the player will need at least 20 hours.
Damn, that is huge for a puzzle
game
like that.
And I'm not talking about getting all the stars and getting all the gold time. You know,
just getting through them.
Yeah, just getting through and finish a game.
What kind of price tag did you guys have in mind for it?
Because some stage look easy, but when you are in front of a puzzle, when we make playtest in France like a few months ago, like some people were able to spend like 30 or 40 minutes in the stage and don't feel upset or boring about it because they were just trying. And just to resolve the puzzle, and it was it felt very great to see people even 30 minutes in the stage, you know, and don't give up. And when they finish, I were able to hear some cry, like some, like, yes!
It's just like Dark Souls.
Yes, I did it! Like, woo! <"Ooh." laughs>
A sense of accomplishment is very big in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now, I can't wait. You guys are making it sound even better than I've expected so far, and the time I've spent with it so far has been great. So the fact that it is such a huge game has me so excited. What kind of price are you guys looking at for the game?
Price?
Yeah, well... You know, there are a lot of people like bitching about The Witness was $40 and blah, 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 and indie games shouldn't be that expensive. I mean, I don't, for me, there shouldn't be I mean, $40 for The Witness, which he worked 7 years on. I don't think it's a huge price. I mean, we're not going to be $40 for sure, but I mean, people are bitching about it. I don't understand.
To be honest, I can tell you a price range. It will be between $15 and $20.
Okay.
That actually sounds really good for what you're talking about. For a 20-hour puzzle game? Holy shit.
Yeah, I was expecting to hear at least, like, 20, 25. It makes sense.
Ready?
Yeah,
so we are thinking about 2025.
the reason why I say that is just because, like you said, there's 80 levels. Plus more, question mark? Like, and the amount of time that you said, like 20 hours just to get through them, like it's considerable amount of playtime. Like there's AAA titles that are $60 that you only get like what?
5 hours.
Like, yeah.
No. Yeah,
so
but, for a lot of people, for example, if we have maybe 2 minutes to speak about it.
Oh yeah.
For a lot of people, they are expecting for a puzzle game. Indie puzzle game based of cube, they are expecting a price range between $5 and $10 right now, people. And if it's more than $10, it's like, oh, it's an indie game, it's a puzzle game about cube, it should cost only $10, you know. I think most of the people are right now because of a lot of things, maybe because of mobile games market and new like indies Steam market are thinking that way, and I think it's really not worth $10. So, but if we put $20, if people will still want to buy it, or will they say, "Oh, $20 is too much"? You know, it's very difficult because it's not only it's what you think it's worth it and what expectation. You know, it's like the
base. I mean, for us here, I mean, I think we have a good like understanding and appreciation of like what goes into games. So, like, it's for me, like indie games on average, for me, I expect them to be around $15-$20. Like, that's what I expect.
Yeah, given the length and everything we've talked about, I was honestly expecting $19.99.
Yeah.
That's honestly what I expected. I think $15 would sell better, but I expect $20. I think the biggest challenge is going to be making sure that people know that this isn't just another game like Cubot or like Cubicolor, where it's just a quick puzzle game that you could use a guide and breeze through in an hour and get 1,000 achievement points. Yes. I think that'll be the biggest challenge, but if people see what the game really is, they'll understand the value that's there.
And what will be next, you know, because it won't be only a release of the game. There will be a following about it.
Yeah.
I agree.
And the only thing to come next would be the erotic puzzle game.
Apparently.
Maybe
it's the bonus developer level that you play after the credits.
Yeah, it's the porn patch.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You know someone's going to make that if the game gets to Steam.
Probably.
Yes.
Probably. The nude mod.
I want to have some porn VR based square cube, you know?
There you go.
I'm dreaming of it every
day. That is the market that everybody wants to get into. Like,
yes.
I mean, you know, Japan
porn with Minecraft.
Yeah, Japan is the biggest porn industry in the world. And
yes.
I'm not surprised.
And VR is, I mean, if there's the first country is going to really sink into it is Japan. I mean,
explode.
It's going to explode like crazy.
Literally.
Literally. I mean, it's like, it's like starting. So.
If you want to talk about porn industry in another podcast, you can invite us again.
It's a date. let's schedule it. That's a date. Just give me time to save up to buy a VR, upgrade my computer so I could actually use a VR, and then find all the best porn program.
Okay.
Who's a Maki in chat? I just imagine someone making a level that is just two huge breasts.
Yes,
I'm sure.
We try to don't put penis in your stage. It was difficult sometimes, you know. Like, oh, this form is too penis-like, so we have to find another pattern, you know? So, yes.
Oh, man. Well, Martin Christian, it has been a pleasure chatting with you guys. We definitely got to get you guys back on again closer to the release of the game so we could talk more about it and share our opinions on the full release. But, yeah, it's been great chatting with you guys.
Thank you, Joe, as well.
Yes.
So do you have any final words for our listeners before you head off?
Be patient. We'll get it done. We'll put it out very soon.
My last word is embrace the cube religion because it's coming soon, and you will dig it, and you will stick with it. You will get mauled by it.
God is on the way.
Yes, the cube god is on the way, and be ready because the wagon is coming quick.
Nice. all right. Thanks again for joining us, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Good. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was fun.
I want to go to Japan.
You want to go to Japan?
I want to go to a foreign country.
So, what do you want to work on first? We have some news to go over. We have a handful of games to review. We have a game to give away.
Let's do the giveaway.
Sounds good. All right, we have one copy of the game Shred It for the Xbox One to give out. We got two emails in for this, so we might just end up flipping a coin if both the entries are good.
Okay.
The first one is from Billy P. Billy, all right. Just watched some gameplay and it looks like it would be quite addictive. I could see myself coming back to this in between games when I have nothing else to play after my initial playthrough, of course. Background music sounds very nice and relaxing too. Perfect for a game like this.
Okay.
And then our other entry is from Angel Santos, who says, I would love the game to skate and have fun in the beautiful world of Shred It.
Coin toss?
Do you have a coin on you?
Give me a second to reach in my pocket. I think so. Yep. Hold on.
All right.
So which one will be heads and which one will be tails?
Heads is Billy, tails is Angel.
Okay. Heads is Billy.
Heads is Billy. So congrats to Billy P. You win our copy of Shred It. I might as well do a quick review on that. It's funny. The game came out a while ago, and I sent them an email. It actually came out, let me see here. Developed and published by Extra Mile Studios. It released on March 18th for $9.99. I know I sent them an email back then. I just got a reply this week with a code, and I was like, sorry, you were in our spam folder. I was like, well, I already bought the game, and I achievement point at it, so can I just give this extra code away? And they're like, yeah, man, go for it. So again, the game developed, published by Extra Mile Studios, released March 18th for $9.99. It is basically kind of like an auto runner style game.
Okay.
But it is a snowboarding game.
Oh, so sweet.
You basically move left to right. You have to pick up leaves, there's stickers that show up every now and then. Jump over and avoid obstacles, you know, all the fun stuff like that, like an auto runner.
Okay.
The game, the visuals are like all hand, like paper cutout. It is gorgeous.
Really?
Like, I love the visual style of the game. The music is super soothing and relaxing. It's a really cool game. There are some issues with the game, and the developers are aware of it. There is a glitch where if you move all the way to the right on a stage, sometimes you get stuck there and can't move left. And they are aware of it, and they actually asked me if I could give feedback on like when it has happened to me. So they are definitely out there trying to fix it. They don't know when it'll be taken care of, but they are working on it. So I'm just giving this a quick review since it's a fairly older game, but I guess not old, but 3 months.
Yeah.
It's ancient, technically. 3 months is ancient in video game years.
Well, I mean, for indies, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
They come and go very, very fast. So
I'm giving it a try for $10. It is a fun game. Again, I spent the time to 1,000 point achievement point thing.
I knew exactly what you meant.
Yeah, I got my 1,000 achievement points. It's a fun game. the glitches might bug you, but they are working on it. I think the biggest problem is the one where you're stuck on the right, but if you just like hang out to the left, it's manageable. It's a fun game. It is a gorgeous game. They have the downhill mode. They have a checkpoint mode. They have a free skate mode. It's fun. It's cute. It's not going to replace SSX, but it's fun. I like it.
Cool. Dig it. So I didn't have a chance to take a look at it, so.
Oh, you son of a bitch. We'll do another quickie review for OlliOlli 2 XL Edition.
I want to play this game.
And Not a Hero Super Snazzy Edition. Both games.
Oh, yeah, because you got the bundle.
Yeah, both games are developed by Roll7, published by Team 17. They both released on the 24th this week. OlliOlli is $14.99. Not a Hero is $12.99. Or you can get them in the double pack with Not a Hero and OlliOlli 2, the Bunny Lord Pro Hater Pack, which is $20.99. And it's actually on sale now for $18. So a cheaper bundle is on sale. I talked with John of Roll7 on our last episode. So if you didn't listen to episode 192, go check that one out. OlliOlli 2 is a lot of fun. You have to be in, I think you need to be more into skating games, and it's a very fast paced. It's more like a rhythm game than a skating game.
The best way that I mean, I'm trying to think of another game that was that twitchy, because it is like it's very reactionary.
Yeah.
It's very fast paced. I mean, I guess really high level Tony Hawk games had that level of, like you'd go from that trick to this trick to that trick to that. You had to do very, very long lines, I guess. Yeah. Long combos. This is kind of similar in that, like, you have to force your character to land when you go to do your tricks. You can't just, like, do the trick in the air and then wait for your guy to just, like, roll away. You have to forcefully push a button and time it correctly.
Yeah, and it's like a rhythm game where timing is everything. So if you hit the button at the right time, you get a perfect landing. And the highest score. If you fuck it up, you're going to get a shittier landing and a shitty score, or you might just wreck completely. If you're only going to buy one of these two games, because Not a Hero is probably one of my favorite indie games to come out this year.
Really?
Yes. It is a 2D cover-based shooter, which a lot of people don't realize. This is a
cover-based shooter.
I've watched so many people streaming this game where they just run and gun it, and they die constantly. You gotta use cover in this game. You could get away with it in the first town, Vodkaville. You could get away with just running and gunning.
Uh-huh.
In those later stages, when guys have shotguns and Uzis, you're going to fucking die if you're not in cover.
Look, sounds like you gotta get in cover.
Yeah, if you are only able to afford one of these, I would say go with Not a Hero. But if you got the $18 to grab the double pack, it is an absolute 1,000% buy it.
I love OlliOlli. I have the first one. I'm looking forward to the second one because there's that like that free skate mode thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Where it's just like a really long ass level, almost like a survival kind of
and,
thing.
And it auto lands for you. You will always land.
It's sweet. Yeah. It's cool. I want to play that game.
I love Roll7. The fact that John has come on the show twice has no bearing on
Team
that.
17.
The games are just amazing. Yeah, I'm thrilled that Team 17 picked it up because Devolver never released it on Xbox. So Team 17 came in, picked it up, ran with it, and $21 or $18 if you grab it now on sale. And if you don't have the first OlliOlli, that is also on sale this week for $2.
$2?
$2.
Oh my God. If you don't buy... Listen... If you need a new game and you are broke as fuck, if you can't buy this game for $2, then you should not be buying video games for yourself ever, and you should probably sell your system and buy groceries.
Yeah. So you played a game for the show this week.
I did. It's called Goliath.
I'll do the quick info.
Yeah, you do that thing.
Goliath, developed by Whalebox Studio, published by Octopus Tree. It released May 12th on Steam for $19.99.
So Goliath is the best way that I can kind of describe it. My first impressions were kind of like Don't Starve. So it's a survival game. Essentially, you're dropped into a thing. There's a small cutscene at the beginning of the game to show. From what I understand, it looks like you're in like a World War One, World War Two fighter plane kind of thing, and then you crash land, but your guy's got a bionic arm. It's got this like quirky cross between like super innovative, like mechanic, almost like steampunkish type of thing, but also with you know, survivalist, like old school. It does have that like slightly creepy vibe of Don't Starve. Like some of the enemies are like giant spiders and boars and stuff like that. But there's a couple things that it does very different from Don't Starve that I think is really neat. Now, a lot of those survival type games, I feel it always seems like you're too squishy, like you're too vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like one thing can go wrong and you lose your guy and you got to fucking start all over again. This game, like literally one of the first things that you do, and what sets it apart from a lot of the other survival type games, is you make these giant like mech suit things. At first, obviously, they start out with just like they're wooden and twig, but right out of the gate, you build one of these things and you're just housing people. And even just like collecting resources takes seconds as opposed to minutes, because instead of you like having to go up to a tree and just like chop, 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 chop and sit there for a couple seconds to actually chop it, you can walk up and just one punch it with the mech suit and you're golden and it just explodes. The other thing that you could do is you don't have to be in the mech for it to, like, you could just have it follow you around.
Nice.
So it all depends on you know, what kind of items that you find and stuff like that. There is an actual, like, questing system. So kind of almost like Kingdoms of Amalur, or almost like a traditional, like, MMO-style go run, collect this thing, come back, give me a thing, I'll give you experience and reputation within this faction, because there's different portions of the map that almost act like different planets. And they have like different type of biomes that you can find different types of resources in, but you have a home base that essentially just like teleports from planet to planet to planet. It's very in depth. The crafting system is really, like, really in depth as well. And they give you ample inventory space, which is really nice, because that's one thing that really pisses me off with survival type games, where you're constantly just running back and forth to your home. There is more than enough inventory space that if you go out and just running, exploring for like hours, you don't have to immediately go back home.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really nice. I just think, like, overall, it has a lot more depth than some of the other survival-type games in that, you know, in the same similar type of vein.
There's more to do, basically.
Yeah, and again, I think the pacing of it is a lot better, because, like I said, as soon as you jump in, one of the first things that you get to do is you get to craft this Goliath thing, and man, like, the gameplay just gets completely different from there, and it's really, really cool. And then you're leveling up the certain Goliaths, and one of the earlier abilities that I got from mine was being able to essentially whirlwind. So I was a fan of that, obviously.
Nice.
Because whirlwind barb forever.
Shocking. Shocking.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's fun. It's really, really cool. I dig it. And and this is the other thing that I thought was absolutely amazing about it. There's a mini map, like an actual mini map. So when you're on, like, if you're on a traditional quest, it'll give you an arrow to, like, hey, you should go that way.
Nice.
Because a lot of those survival type games, like, yes, they drop you in, and like, it doesn't necessarily hold you your hand for everything, because you still have to, like, figure out when you want to build stuff and when you're going to gather resources and, you know, what order to do certain things so that you're not, like, gimping yourself. But when it comes to the actual, like, campaign and doing, like, the storylines and all the side quests and stuff like that, you know, there it seems like there's a pretty decent linear progression that you can go through.
Awesome. So what's your verdict?
I would say if you're a fan of the like survival type games, I would say absolutely buy it. I think there's a like the visuals are really, really good. And I think there's enough depth to warrant the purchase. Obviously, like it is a little bit more on the pricier side than some of the games that we'll talk about some, you know, on occasions. But I think in this case, it's absolutely worth it.
Nice. All right. Two more games to talk about. One, we actually outsourced our good friend Wood, who's been on the show a few times. He covered a game called, I'm probably going to fuck up this pronunciation, but Koihime Enbu.
Oh, Jesus.
It is developed by Unknown Games, published by Degisa, I don't know, I'm ruining everything. It released May 19th on Steam for $39.99. As of right now, it still has a 15% discount down to $39.99. I am just going to read his review. This is an anime fighter featuring typical female anime tropes, though this time with a Chinese aesthetic. All fighters are female. A lot of them use spears or pole arms, with a couple that use swords and one that uses her fists that I naturally picked up. The bottom line, it's a fun game that's good for a collection, but it's a hard sell for competitive players, especially due to lackluster netcode. And I'm going to toss this out there. Would... had issues with netcode, and I believe it's because he lives in
Japan, right?
Yeah, I believe in Japan or Korea, one of those.
Yeah.
And I believe that the servers are still setting him up with American players.
Oh, yeah, that could be a problem.
Pretty much every other review I have seen online says the netcode's fantastic.
Interesting. So,
I'm still going to read his review exactly as he wrote it to us, but I just want to put that out there that his issues with the netcode are very likely due to the fact of where he's located and who he's playing.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm just tossing that out there. Presentation. This game is gorgeous. The fighters themselves are done in a similar vein as Guilty Gear Xrd. 3D models shaded and animated in such a way that they look 2D. The fighters are really well crafted and animate very well. The weapon hits feel heavy, and the cherry blossom petals exploding from critical hits are a nice touch. Backgrounds are incredible, and the music is good. It's apparent that this was created to compete for space in Japanese arcades, as it is an arcade game over in Japan. But that goes to the character design, too, which are all anime waifu stuff. Your mileage will vary if you're into that sort of look. Gameplay, as far as anime-style fighters go, this isn't as batty insane as BlazBlue or Fighting Climax. This is a footsie-based fighter where you have to have really good fundamentals. You don't have to worry about giant combos. The controls are easy to understand. The commands are typical fireball dragon punch motions, and you could get away with simple magic series buttons. In this case, A, B, C buttons combo in series. I don't know if that means anything.
It's essentially like it's a light, medium, heavy.
Ah, okay.
Like it's, you know, you could string together punches, string together kicks, or combinations of... three or whatever.
Makes sense. What I don't like is that when you go to do the magic series, you can no longer cancel into specials, and I have no idea why that is. You get a tactics meter that you use for EX specials, partner summons, supers, and a cinematic super that only works in Hogeki combos. The Hogeki system is what makes this game stand out. You have about three attacks, anti-air, low crush, strong attack, that will stagger an attacking opponent when you get the timing right. You know you got them right when the screen shakes and the gong sounds. That's when the crazy juggles happen in this game, and it's pretty satisfying to land on people. The offline modes are good. You have a typical arcade mode, but the scenario mode is where the story is told. Something about your character fighting from some province for some royal heirloom, I think. All I know is I got a random cutscene at the end of some waifu feeding my character some hot peppers as an award for beating her scenario. Again, I want to point out that his online issues are most likely due to his location and are not representative of the majority of the other reviews I've seen, because he says the online is awful. Despite living in an age where even Mortal Kombat has rollback netcode, this game still uses input delay. That in itself isn't a deal breaker, but in the 20 games I played, I still ran into noticeable delay in every action. Considering this game is all about footsies, reads, and reactions, it's a deal breaker for being an online warrior. For casual fighting games fans, try it. It looks great, plays well, and it's still fun even if you're just mashing. For more serious anime fighter fans, try it. The game rewards good fundamentals, and it's fun, even if you're better off in offline mode with your local fighting game crew. Plus, it's a more complete game than Street Fighter V, and it only costs $35.
Oof.
And again,
that's Street Fighter V hate.
One more time, the online issues, it's very much down to your mileage may vary because of his location and who he was.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I just want to be clear on that, because when he sent me the review and I read it, I'm like, every other review I've seen of this said the online's really good. Are you sure? And he's like, it might be because it's setting me up with American players. So
possible.
Very much comes down to that.
Got it.
Oh, Uzumaki in chat says Goliath is on a Steam wish list and it looks amazing. So, hey, maybe you just made a sale, Chris.
It's awesome. It's so good. It is really, really good.
I was looking at the other window, so I didn't notice that. Didn't notice that comment until now.
Yeah, it was way more in-depth than I thought it would be.
All right, final game to review is called Life Goes On, Done to Death, developed and published by Infinite Monkeys. God, such great game studio names out there.
Right.
Released May 17th on the PS4 for $12.99. This is kind of a puzzler platformer. You control a series of knights, and you need to collect a chalice. And
so is it like Lost Vikings?
I haven't played Lost Vikings in so long that I can't even compare it.
Okay, that's fair.
Dude, that's how old I'm getting. You only control one at a time. But when one dies, you can hit X to summon a new one. Thing is, you need to die. Because there's spike traps, switches, there's saws, there's flames, and you use your bodies to get through the puzzles. So if there's a spike trap, you jump into the spikes, and then the next guy jumps on top of you and across the spikes. If there's a button, you need to find a way to kill your dude so he lands on the button and stays on the button.
Amazing.
So you could get through a door, or it can move a platform, or whatever's going on.
That sounds wonderful.
Each stage has a goal time as well as a goal number of deaths. You could get a gold medal for meeting the requirement, or there's also like a pinkish purplish looking medal if you like greatly exceed the death tally goal.
Okay.
Like, I don't mean exceed it, but not.
Oh, like not die. Okay.
Yeah. Like if the goal is 10 and you get like 5, you'll get a better medal.
Okay. Although,
hilariously enough, there was a trophy for dying 100 times in a stage and still completing it.
And of course, you looked that up so that you can do that. So.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
I saw it and I was like, yeah, I got to get this.
Like, that's an easy completion.
On top of that, there really are some cool trophies in the game. There's like one of the very first stages, there's one for fitting, I think, 26 people in the spikes. Which you need precision to land that many people in how few spikes are available.
Interesting.
So it's not something that you'll just get. You have to work for that one.
Interesting.
And then there's a trophy for fitting one more. Which I laughed my ass off, and it was like, fit 26 people, and it's like, fit one more. The game is ridiculous. It is hilarious. It is incredibly fun, and it seems to be very long. I've been playing it for a few hours, and I don't know if I'm anywhere close to the end. I didn't look up to see how many stages are in there, but for the $13 that it costs, I'm giving this one a buy. It is just so much goofy, enjoyable fun, and you have to think. It's very much like the Impossible Machine, where the contraptions just get
those.
So complex that you have to plan out and know where to land someone, and it's fun. It's good. It's worth grabbing.
That sounds cool.
Good stuff. Good games this week. Unfortunately did not have time to cover any of the pinball arcade stuff for this episode, so we'll have to talk about them next week. I know a lot of people are excited because it's covering like Adam's Family and Ship Troopers. I promise they're coming. It's just been incredibly hectic around here, especially considering I got two games that were going to go to Pappy.
Oh, that's right.
Now I got to cover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there is some news to cover really quick as well.
Sure.
It is a fairly good week for music game fans as Rock Band got a 2-pack of Gin Blossom.
Yeah, it was Found Out About You. Was that one?
And Hey Jealousy.
Yeah.
So the two Gin Blossom songs.
Don't they have like one or two other ones?
I have no idea. And then Rocksmith got a 3-pack of Chevelle. So I had a reason to buy some more Rocksmith.
Yeah.
That got Vitamin R leading us along, Hat Off to the Bull, and of course, The Red, which has to be on everything.
Everything.
It still has me mad that Chevelle is now in Rocksmith, Rock Band, and Guitar Hero. And the clincher is only in that piece of shit Guitar Hero Live. Please, God, bring it to Rock Band. Like, anytime I want to play that, I got to fire up the 360 and play a custom of it because there's not a real song of it.
Not a real one, yeah.
Some more Xbox news. There's a big heaping helping of Xbox news that came out today. The Games with Gold for June were announced, where the Xbox 360 is getting two big ones in XCOM Enemy Unknown, which is still a $40 game, and Super Meat Boy.
I will love to have a second copy of Super Meat Boy.
And even better, it's the real version of Super Meat Boy with the Danny B soundtrack.
Yes.
And then Xbox One games aren't as good, but still a nice selection with Goat Simulator and The Crew.
Yeah, I think The Crew is a pretty decent game for gold. I mean, I don't think it's one that people will actually actively go out and buy, so it's, you know.
And it's been out for a while. And
yeah.
So if need be, they could always make some money up in the DLC for it.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll make Rise eventually. Or was it a Games with Gold and I missed it?
Rise? No, it never was.
Yeah, why? Fucking why?
I don't know. People have been talking about Rise for 2 years now, and it's been so long. Who cares? Like, just fucking buy Rise. It's been 2.5 years. Just get it.
But I want it free. I feel like that's one that I should have gotten for free by now. Fuck.
There were leaks that were incredibly, incredibly fake about what was supposed to be June's Game with Gold. And for the 360, it was supposedly Red Dead Redemption and Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which, right there, like, Bioshock Infinite was already free for Games with Gold.
Yeah.
But we've never got a duplicate in America. So, that already shows how fake it was. And then on the Xbox One, it was Rise and Lictum, which came out last month and is a terrible port. Fucking why would it be those two games?
It's dumb. People are dumb.
Pretty much, yeah.
People are dumb. That's why it was those two games, because people are dumb.
Uzumaki in chat, Steam got lit this week. I have 9 games in my wish list now. This is going to be a fun summer.
This is not going to be a fun summer for me because hernia and shows and but Overwatch.
We're going to call you Hernia Huber.
Hubia.
I don't know.
Something like that.
Unia. I don't know. Some other news for Xbox is that, of course, since XCOM Enemy Unknown was announced as a game with gold, people may have noticed that it's not available as a backward compatible title. Well, that changed today, along with Domino Master for some fucked up reason.
they pick like the weirdest fucking random. Oh my god!
It's possible that was Microsoft published. I have no idea. I don't own it, which is shocking. I know, but in addition to that, Magic 2012, which is pretty cool to see.
What the fuck? Like why? Like I don't know. Whatever.
Exic 2, which is nice to see join the original.
I'm cool with that.
Unbound Saga, which is a fun beat-em-up, and to celebrate the life of Alan Young, who passed away last week, DuckTales Remastered. You can relive him performing as Scrooge McDuck for quite possibly the final time in DuckTales Remastered. Now available to play on Xbox.
Wait.
One final bit of news, and this is a big one.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Xbox One players.
Oh, you told me about this.
Can now play against Steam players in Rocket League.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
Which means I'll be able to play Rocket League on my preferred console, and we can still play together.
I don't know how it's going to work with teaming up.
There's got to be a way to do it. There's got to be a way to figure it out.
But yeah, Xbox One and Steam crossplay is now officially a thing. Go figure. Sony's still flaking on the whole three-party thing.
Yeah, what the fuck?
So no PlayStation crossplay yet. Xbox is ready for it. Rocket League is ready for it. Just waiting on Sony to get their shit together and allow it.
Yep.
So who knows? But that's all the news I got. I don't know if you got anything going on.
Not that I'm familiar with. Other than the fact that Overwatch came out and that's all I'm playing.
It's just going to say, what are you playing?
Oh, listen, I turned into a Blizzard fanboy.
You turned into
I turned into a Blizzard fanboy because I realized that every single game that I now play is a Blizzard game. I play Overwatch, I play Hearthstone, I play Diablo, and I started trying World of Warcraft. So literally all of the games that I play right now are Blizzard games.
Nice. Well, since everybody has been harassing me nonstop, like, hey, you getting Overwatch? Are you getting Overwatch? Are you getting Overwatch? I got Overwatch, so shut the fuck up. I got it. Pick it up today.
I'm actually thinking about buying a second copy just so I can play with you.
Traded some games into Best Buy, picked it up. I got, I think, their second-to-last metal art plate that they had up there.
Oh, that thing's sweet.
Yeah, it's like a license plate-sized metal just art plate. It looks cool.
Yeah, it's sweet. I'm jealous.
Haven't installed it yet because we went to Best Buy and then we stopped for ice cream and then came home and immediately started the show.
Yep.
Pretty much. Rez just joined the chat and we're
you're late to the party because we're done.
Rez is finally done with Magstock planning meeting. Great timing. Great fucking timing. Rez, he's going to have to send us another email to let us know what he thinks of Far Harbor because that just came out last week. Fallout 4.
I'm just going to continually play Overwatch and hold my nutsack, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much. You and your hernia. Rez, fuck me.
and hopefully, I'm hoping that the internet and everything will be sorted out because technically, by next week, I'll have moved, hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully you'll still do the show and you won't pappy me or Tim me.
Oh, no, I'm still, no. Although I will say there's going to be one week that we're going to have to move it from a Tuesday because I looked into my schedule and apparently I'm playing on a fucking Tuesday.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so.
We never play on a Tuesday, ever.
Dude,
I'm playing on a Tuesday.
I looked into it and I was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, I'll tell you, last week and this week, the whole Tuesday thing just kind of happened. I'd probably prefer doing them closer to Wednesdays, but we'll see.
We'll figure
it's
it out.
It's a week-to-week thing. We have no one to work around anymore except whatever guests want to come on the show.
Sure.
So.
Which, I mean, and even still, if you want to do the interviews and still do the weekly thing together, we'll still do that and do the
news
figure
and
it reviews. Out. And, yeah.
I did a Saturday show by myself.
Yep.
And I threw two reviews at the end there, and people said it wasn't that bad. So.
See,
Rez said in chat, Far Harbor is so good. Easily best vault ever. So, Rez, shoot us another email, or maybe we could get you on the show sometime. I got nothing else to talk about, really.
No, I'm just going to play more Overwatch.
We're creeping up to 2 hours again.
That's a normality.
No matter how we try, someone was like, I think if you were to edit down to like 30 minutes, a lot more people. Are you fucking kidding me?
30 minutes? I feel like an hour is the perfect amount of time. But let's be honest. I mean, like, if we're going to do an interview plus the other stuff, because the other stuff normally is the hour.
Yeah.
So it's really the interview. So if you don't want to listen to the interview, just skip around the middle and figure out when we're going to start talking about the other stuff.
Seriously. And seriously, episode 200 is coming up. I guarantee that's going to be like 7 hours.
Not to mention the fact that like you're probably going to want to listen to all 7 hours.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have like, I'm sure we're going to have like a bunch of retarded people on here. So.
Rez, don't ever limit the bullshit. We don't plan on it. Everyone who tells me you should do a shorter show, I'm going to make it longer.
Well, the only reason why we can't go too long is because, like, it's very difficult to set aside that much, like, that large of a chunk of time all in one sitting.
Chris, if you weren't doing this show right now, what would you be doing?
You'd
be playing Overwatch. So the only thing different is you're talking on Skype instead of playing a game your computer.
I'm saying not every time, though. Because apparently I'm playing on a Tuesday. Fucking go figure. So, dude, they literally, like, when I got that job, they were just like, oh, yeah, if there's ever anything important, just to schedule it on a Tuesday. We never do anything on Tuesdays.
Yeah, it's going to be in work in progress for the next few weeks.
We'll figure
since
it out.
Everything has been kind of in upheaval lately. But thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to the people in the chat who've been hanging out with us for the past hour or two, or in Rez's case, the past 4 minutes.
It's been over, well, because we had to stop the recording at one point, didn't we?
I never stopped the recording.
You stopped the Skype call.
No, the call, we were still in the call, so the call has still been going.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, shit, we were actually probably on there for longer.
This is a 7-hour show itself. Music this week, I'm going to do some Super Meat Boy from Danny B.
Nice.
To celebrate the fact that we're getting Super Meat Boy for free next month, if you don't already own it. Plus, it's the proper soundtrack to the game.
Yes.
So we're gonna listen to some Danny B. And if you're, by chance, if you're playing Rock Band on the 360, still hit up Rock Band Network and grab some Danny B songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're on there.
There's a couple, right?
Yeah. I think three or four of them, something like that.
Yeah.
So, final words?
Jones them up. Final words are Overwatch is here.
Oh, God damn it.